All right, Romans chapter 1. Amen. We're getting close to this text, right? Can you see it? You can? For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. He said, I long to see you, to impart unto you some spiritual gift. And we began to look at the foundation of why he could make a statement like this. And we picked it up from Matthew 24 verse 3, where they asked Jesus the question, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And we look back in verse 1 and 2, where Jesus taking them to the temple site, and they described the temple as beautiful, and he said, everything here is coming down. And then they said, oh boy, it's coming down. And then we read that with John 2 from verse 13 and 14 through to 21 and 22. And of course, Luke 19 and Mark 14, where Jesus also spoke about 13, coming down of the temple. And we said that the word end of the world and the beginning of the world, or we call it the foundation of the world, we said they are connected terms. And we looked at the word world, right? Let's do some reminders. World, we have the first one is anion or onion. Just say onion, you're fine. Okay. Anion. Then we also have what? Cosmos. Okay, cosmos came first. Cosmos, anion, and oiko something, you know. Oiko money head. Which has to do now. We said cosmos is the arrangement, anion is the time, the activities, oiko money are the constituents of it, right? Come on. Come on here. So we said that when they used the word world, they were describing the activities of the temple. Now let me say something important about the temple to you. The temple was a central figure in the existence of Israel. Because the core reason, now Israel, the nation of Israel, is, how many of you know what you call an SPV? Special purpose vehicle. You know what it is, right? Which is, for example, if someone comes to Zambia and he wants to do something, and they just want to create a company for a purpose. It may not last for a long time, but the essence of the company is to start the project. Then as time goes on, you know, of course they use it for fraud, but we are not like that. But so we have a special purpose vehicle, and you have a bigger project in mind. So here is God. He wants to bless the nations. So he creates Israel. Israel is the only nation God created. Every other nation is man-made. He created Israel by calling Abraham out in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. Then that continued with Isaac and Jacob. Then through Joseph, they went to Egypt. Now, for the first time, they came out of Egypt as a single nation. 12 brothers, now 12 tribes, they came out as a single nation, so they were called Israel. Israel actually means, if you look at Hosea chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, it means one who has authority with God. Okay, a prince with God. In Genesis 32, from verse 8 down, where Jacob had that vision, or that encounter with the angel, and he says, you have great power with God, for you have struggled, wrestled with God, and you have prevailed. So the context of that is that he has been given authority. So that's transferred to the nation of Israel. Now, authority for what? Now, listen carefully now. In Genesis 12, 3, he says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, that's not the first time you're going to read that. You read that already in Genesis 1, 28. He blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish earth. So he uses Abraham and then his seed as a special purpose vehicle. But what he's using them for is beyond the ethnic Israel. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it's way beyond that. It's just a special purpose vehicle. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 also, he says, you didn't love me, I loved you, I chose you. So there was nothing you did. You didn't love me, I loved you, I chose you. For what purpose? Now it says to be a peculiar treasure of me above among all the nations. That's also in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. So it's a special purpose vehicle. Now because of that, one unique thing about Israel was that Yahweh God, the Lord Almighty God, was dwelling in their midst. So, remember the 3D, 4D, 5D projection. Come on now. So, and we said earlier, he had been in their midst before they built the tabernacle. The tabernacle is just meant to be a picture. Okay? So, that temple is meant to show, it's like a signature. To say, God is with you. So they built the tabernacle, Moses, Exodus 25 to 40. Then you have Solomon, 1 Kings 6 to 8. It's to say, God is with you. Now, I'm just going to run through this with you. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, he prayed many kind of supplications. The first thing he said, you are God. Even the heavens of the heavens can't contain you. Okay? So it's clear to Solomon that it's not like you are living in this place. This is just a pointer, a sign, a symbol. Everybody knew it. Israel knew that that temple was not where God dwelt. But it was symbolic to them of the kind of nation that they were. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? So, that temple was so significant to their, it's like a badge. It's a badge of who they are. I call it an identity marker. So, let me give you what identity marker is. Identity marker is to single out who you are. It's to, you know, something very unique to you. Now, you know, for example, you read the, I'm in Matthew 24, I don't know how I got here, but I'll come out of it shortly. So, you know, he spoke to them about meat. Meat they should not take, right? Leviticus has a lot of meaty, don't take meat, don't take crabs, don't take shrimps, you know, and all that. And they are not dietary laws. Because it's not from the doctor. Alright? Now, in their world, food was meant also for gods. And you know, it was retained in 1 Corinthians 8 and 10, right? Food offered to idols. Come on, are you with me? So, the abstinence from food is not because of the unhealthy nature of the food, but what the food meant in their own world. So their abstaining from the food was an identity, holiness. We are holy, we will not eat this for the purpose why you eat it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So that was holiness. And I'll just add this. Today too, there are things that are not sinful, but we can do away with them because of who we are. Can I have an amen? Holiness is still the same thing. Well, because of whose we are, right? And someone told me, he said, okay, now I was doing a teaching, I said, there's nothing biblically wrong in having a tattoo, for example. It's none, I mean, some of us even have tribal marks, so what's the difference? There's nothing biblically wrong in having tattoos. You know, someone told me, well, what about the book of Leviticus? I don't have time to go into that, but I explained it, that one was about worship of the dead. It was contextual. Now, but you see, we're in a world where tattoo now has a meaning. Now, because of the meaning it holds in our world, we cannot carry such identity markers. Because of who we are and whose we are. Am I making sense here? So, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, we're coming to edify tomorrow. That's tomorrow's teaching. We'll come to that. Amen. Not all things build up. So there are things I will stay away from, not because it's... Now, let me ask you this one. It's a simple one. I know when I said turn over the alcohol, some of you, because I know people that are grace people, the grace people have no problem with alcohol. You know, grace. I'm not a grace person. I'm a law person. I studied law in school. So, you know, and the alcohol. Now, I was in the law school and we're meant to take a dinner. It's called a law dinner. When you take the law dinner, you know, it's part of the, I don't know why, you have to eat, right? It's part of the a curriculum. So some people say they're initiating you to a cult, whatever. So we sit down and then they serve alcohol. And then it's a law dinner, law school, I was in law school then. And they served me alcohol, so I wasn't taking it. So I said, but why? I said, because I don't take alcohol. I said, but is this the sin? I said, did I tell you it's a sin? I said, I don't take it. Now such people are like Satan in the wilderness. I don't think you know. So I said, no. Now the point is, how many of you would love to have someone you're leading in Christ to meet you with beer? Now they won't say much, they'll just say, ah, nice to see this. And usually people that listen to you take whatever you have done to the next level. So when he takes cocaine, Paul used to say, there's no scripture for cocaine. Paul never envisaged cocaine. He didn't know what cocaine was. So he couldn't have written it. Then he takes shisha. Then where do we stop? So since you know that, you don't think about yourself alone. You see, we don't know the word of God to be free. We know the word of God to serve. Is that clear? You know, I know some of you are probably like me. This is not my teaching today, but can I go on? You're doing fine? I know, right. So you like things like alcohol, you know. It's okay. I'm fine. So, you know, when I first, you know, I got born again in a very conservative setting. Soon and very soon we're going to see the King kind of church. I'm grateful. I'm really grateful. You know, sometimes when you grow older, you might go back and be grateful for things you never thought were useful. You know, that restraint they gave us was helpful. Is that clear? That's why today, you'll never find me follow Vogue or things that are trending because of that background. Okay, so, but then that background came with its own troubles. And, you know, we had to watch what we wore, fine. But sometimes it didn't come out of service to God. It was more of, I don't want to go to hell. Now, if you are not committing sin because you don't want to go to hell, you're already in hell. That's crazy. You know, God already knows you are pretending. And if that's why people don't want to live, they want to live right, then heaven will be full of hypocrites. So by the time we get there, we just pull off. I say, now we're here. Oh boy, let me take my boots, man. Now we're here now. Come on. At least, then you look at some guys. Of course, Chelsea fans will be free. Because Chelsea, London, dry gin. Is that not what it's about? That's below the belt. Okay, so, you know, and when we now got to know who you are in Christ, wow, I am the righteousness of God. I read that in E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, John Austin, not Joel. No, just make it clear. I'm not about Joel, but it's John, not Joel. So we read that. And wow, and what materials we stumbled upon. And I remember, you know, so there was just this liberty. The first thing to show that I was now free was I had to go and have Tyson haircut. You know Tyson haircut? You know Tyson haircut? Coo, 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 coo. And to show I'm free. And then, I didn't stop there. Start using spotting waves. You know spotting waves? You relax your hair. You can't believe it's me, right? So, then I started wearing 2 rings just to show I now know the word. So 2 rings, 1 bracelet. Okay, so every time you come to me, you say, why are you wearing this? I say, open your Bible to Colossians chapter 6. So, I was using the scriptures for my habits. That is not spiritual growth. Right? That's not spiritual growth. That is moving from the bondage of doctrine to the bondage of self. Because now you're serving self. So while practically, that's not knowledge. Amen. Are you here? So listen carefully. I said, so there are identity markers. So Israel had identity markers. When you read about, you should not do this one, you should do this one. It wasn't about going to heaven. It wasn't about righteousness. God had already accepted them, saved them, rescued them. That was done. It was about their identity in other nations. So when you're told, hey brother, come on, you can't wear that. So it doesn't matter, I'm saved by grace, through faith, not a works, with any man boast. Hey, sister, you can't, come on, cover your lap, sister. No way. I'm the temple of God. Hey. I know you are saved, but you've got to let your light shine. Is that clear? That's not about getting to heaven, you're accepted now. It's about you being an ambassador of the gospel and not being an hindrance for others to know Jesus. Can I have an amen here? Come on. So it was an identity marker. Now there's a wrong teaching about that, that people assume that in the Old Testament, they had to do those things to be saved. That even makes you suspect God. That in the Old Testament, God wanted them to, you know, shave, do these things to be saved. Then in the New Testament, Jesus now fulfilled it. How? He stopped shaving? No. It was holiness. Do you understand? He had already rescued them, taking them out of Egypt, okay? And then gave them the laws. And listen carefully. You need to know what I'm about to say. All the 612 laws he gave them, that's Moses now, including the Ten Commandments, they were meant for the promised land that he didn't get to until 40 years after. So for 40 years, he was grooming them in persuasion. He wasn't particular about them acting on the law as he was about them believing. Come on. So God didn't make things difficult for them. No! He gave them the law after he had rescued them. And that's the same way it is today, right? Do we have instructions in the New Testament? Alright? Is it for salvation or for holiness? Because we are holy already, okay? So those instructions are to mark us out in the world. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication. That doesn't get you into Christ, but that makes sure that Christ is revealed through you. Are you there? So the same thing with Israel. So God uses Israel as an SPV. A special purpose vehicle that will now transmit the same thing to the nations of the world. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, that makes good. So the temple was like an identification marker. God is with us, can you see? Now, it's not God in the temple is with us. God is already with us. But can you see? So it's about a symbol of the presence of God. The temple was not the presence of God. God was already talking with them before the temple was built. He was with them. In fact, in Exodus 25, they saw him on the mountain. In Exodus 23, verse 20, he said, I'll send my angel who will go before you. He will have my name in him. And that obviously is one of the Godhead. So that's too clear. So the temple is an identification marker. It's the kind of badge you get to show who you are. It's like when I was in secondary school, I was chosen as a school prefect. Now, the school I attended, it's not like many of the schools you did. sorry for that. That's the truth. So you know, we had this specialty about being school prefect. And so I was chosen as a prefect. Many of us were chosen. But then they call us acting prefect. Did you have that acting prefect? Then when you get to the senior class, then you're now the real prefect. So the one is the type and shadow. The other one is the reality. So now we had crossed the type and shadow fact, but they hadn't given us the badges. So I felt we had to protest because I used to do that in school a lot. So I led everyone to do the protest. So we went to the principal's office to protest. And... You know, we had made the mouth. We had made all the mouths in the boarding house. As soon as we got to the principal's office, I found out I was alone with one person. And so we were three actually. So the third person now said, "No, you got, are you sure we should go ahead?" I said, "If I'm the only one, I'll stay. I'm here already. I can't turn back." The problem again is that I wrote a letter to the principal. It was my signature. So we got there and said, "Who is the person?" So the principal wasn't there because he was ill. The vice principal was there. Said, "Who wrote this letter?" Then the person who was the, now they call them senior prefect in other schools. We don't use such language. So we call him head of school. So he said, "You just turn to me like this." I said, "I did." He said, "You are demanding for your prefect badge. Is that what you should be thinking about now? The principal has been sick for a long time. You've not even asked about his welfare. You're asking for your badge." He went on and on. And then the head of school was shaking. The other guy was shaking. I wasn't. I said, "Thank you for the information about the principal. We didn't know. Send him our wishes. But sir, this school is bigger than the principal." My nickname in school was Radical. So I said, "This school is bigger than that." I said, "It's our right as prefects to have the badge. Because how would people recognize us? If we don't have the identification, I mean, we'll just be like everybody." And so I said, "Well, this school has traditions. My father," I had to use that, you know, "is an old boy of this school, and he was shocked that we don't have our badges yet. He even told me he was presented before the old boys association. I said, they should hold on that we can handle it. Come on, you know." The man said, "Oh, I see. Well, you have to understand, eventually we got the badge that day." So when the man saw me years after, I said, "Who would not know you?" By the time I went back to the boarding house to go and check all the other colleagues that we had, they had all run home. Everybody just went home thinking there was going to be tsunami. No tsunami. You know, and there, some of them are still like that as pastors. I can see them. They're still like that. They haven't changed. Anyway, so you know, the badge then was to just know. The badge is not the appointment, but it's just a symbol. Okay? So the same way, the temple is a symbol. But if you take the symbol away, it's also symbolic that something has been taken away. So when Jesus said, now you need to pay very good attention here, because we're going to make some connections in a moment. When Jesus said, now let's read three scenarios together. Three scenarios. Now, one more. Okay, let's put it that way. Three scenarios. Jesus goes into the temple. Then he says, separating Jews and Gentiles. I hope you know what that's what it means. It has to stop. Right? What else? Animal sacrifices in here has come to an end. Destroy this temple. After 3 days, I will raise it. I told you the it is not that temple. The it is the replacement of that temple that we read in Isaiah. Are you here? Good. So the first thing we've seen is the temple is coming down so that there will be no barriers in worship. Okay. The second thing is when he was with the woman at the well. Our first name is woman, our surname is at the well. Just like with the woman with the issue of blood. The first name is the woman. Corinthian fornicator, first name Corinthian, surname is fornicator. You know, that's how we give people nicknames. To know how true it is, I just did now. So the woman, they're having a conversation. Jesus is at the well, very significant. You know, Rebecca was found at the well. Moses found the daughters of Jethro at the well. Something about the well. That's about prophecy. I gave a word of wisdom to somebody. So don't be surprised tomorrow. See many brethren at the well. Alright, so the woman at the well, John 4 and 10. Jesus said, "Give me water to drink." He said, "You know, if you know he that asked of you," Jesus replied her, "you'll have asked of him, he will have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God and he that, come on, the gift of God. The gift of God and he that asked of you, you'll have asked, he'll have given you living water. Any connection? Where do you get living water from? The well. Borehole. Where? Thank you. Genesis. The rivers of Eden. Are you here? Because they flow into the sea. The sea is supposed to be what? Dark seas. The rivers of living water flowing there as the waters covers the sea. So Jesus said, living water. The woman says, you don't even have what to fetch water with. Where are you going to get living water from? Then he said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. John 4:13. But he that drinks of the water that shall give him shall have in him a well of water. Ooh, praise God. Springing up unto everlasting life. Now you know, John uses water a lot. In John 3:3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he says, Master, no man teacheth, no, I mean, thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do it these miracles except God be with him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus then asks, well, can a man, after he's whole, you know, enter into mother's womb to be born a second time? Jesus then answered him again in verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter. Water, the Spirit. Where do we have water and the Spirit run together? Genesis 1, 2, then Genesis 2, 9, 10. Are you here? He cannot enter into the kingdom. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Verse 6, marvel not that I say you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound. You can't know where it's coming from, where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the water there is not a symbol of the Spirit. No. The water is the work of the Spirit. You don't use symbols for God. It's the work of the Spirit. Is that clear? Just like the temple is supposed to be an identification marker. So it's a symbol. No, it's the work. Symbol of the work of the Spirit. Where do we get the waters from? From the seas. Right? So when the Holy Ghost is upon the seas, what happens? The waters that flow from there will be living. Is it making sense? Yeah. So in John 4, it says, so the rivers, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said, you Jews tell us that in Jerusalem is where we ought to worship God. But our fathers worship God on this mountain. Conversation has shifted. Why did the conversation shift? It didn't really shift. Because the first river was from a mountain. Genesis 2. And that mountain is also called the temple of... Come on. Are we here? Is Eden a temple? Tabernacle? So did water flow from there? So the moment Jesus talked about living water, the bell rang in the woman. She said, okay, now we're talking temple now. But we say we should worship in Samaria. You say Jerusalem. Jesus said, the hour is coming when neither here or in Jerusalem would you worship the Father. Jerusalem is where the temple is. So we are having another conversation on the expiry date of the temple. Are you with me? So, he said, well, you know not what we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh. Ooh. Father seeketh true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. the hour cometh when those who worship the Father will worship him in spirit and in truth. What's the truth? Truth is not the opposite of a lie. Truth is the contrast of either a symbol or a badge. Truth is not the opposite of a lie. When you say he is the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world. Other lights have come, which are the prophet, but he is a true light. They are not liars, but they are not the real deal. So this is the real deal. The real deal is not Jerusalem. Are you here? The real deal is in the spirit and truth. Now, let me say something that will open your mind. Now, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, the spirit is signified by wind or breath. Genesis 1:2, the wind of God moved. And in the New Testament, that's what you have, a ruach, R-U-A-C-H. Then you have pneuma, which is spirit. Now the significance of that is when you say spirit, you are saying it can be everywhere. So when he said to worship the Father in spirit, which means there will be not one single location for the worship of the Father. Now, is that the same thing that all the nations will worship in it? Is it the same thing? Come on, is it the same thing? Come on, Tom, is it the same thing? So, there are two conversations now about the temple. Can we say also about the end of the world? John 2, come on. John 4. Now, the last one is that Matthew 24. Why did he give that one? Because that's a function of judgment. Because you guys have mishandled the covenant. How did they mishandle the covenant? They were going to kill the Messiah. And every time Israel did that, there was a judgment. Are you here? So he said to them, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. Matthew 16. Yep. And because he's going to be killed, listen carefully, there's judgment on the nation. So God takes away from them that identification marker and he gives it to the world. Are you following what I'm saying? Because don't just love the love part of God, there's the judgment part of God. Hallelujah. It's not that loud, but it's there. So he takes away that identification, but walks out for the glory of God. He sends it into all the world. So the end of that world is the beginning of God's work, which is also an end, a goal. So we've said that the issue is the temple. Now don't forget, we have said also, that the temple originally is not a building. The temple is where? Oh, come on now. It's where? The old, it's a house, but not yet a home. So, in Genesis chapter 1, we find the beginning. You know the beginning now, beginning. God began to create heaven and earth. What does that mean? He puts things in their place, right? So we said Genesis chapter 1 is identity, right? Genesis chapter 2, we now said, what is man? Genesis 1:26, image of God, who we are. 27, whose we are. 28, what we do, our calling, our mandate. Genesis 2:15, how we do it. We do it by service, all right? We are kingly priests or priestly kings. Now, let's stretch it further. Genesis 2:18 and 19. We need what? The helper. Which is the spirit, right? No. The Father, Son, and Spirit. You fell into the trap. Father, Son, and Spirit. Is that clear? Father, Son, and Spirit. There's no way you can teach the Bible and not see Father, Son, and Spirit. It's too obvious there. It's one of those truths of Christianity, you just believe it. You guys are saying, where is the Father, where is the Son? You just run mad. Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay? That's fair enough. Okay? You just run crazy because they made it that way. Do you understand? Father, Son, and Spirit. So you have that in God's temple. You are the image. Remember image? Image is what? Idol. You are an idol. You are an idol. And what does an idol really do? An idol makes men worship the god. Right? Are you here? So you are an idol in God's temple. An idol, let me just go back to image. Image, okay? Image is who you are. Now, do you get born again before you become image? Tricky question. Huh? Do you have to be born again to be image? No. Every human being is the image of God. Come on. But to function, you need the helper. Come on. So salvation is not, I'm escaping sin, I'm going to heaven, my name is in the book of life, and I'm not going to hell fire. No, you've got the Spirit. Salvation brings you into partnership with God, which is why you were created. It's not an escape from hellfire. Right? Come on. So, it is not good that a man not be married. How about that? Man be alone. Is that marriage? We rule that out of the money. Come on. Is it marriage? No. Help meet your wife? No. Now if you decide to make your wife your helpmeet, good for her. But the helpmeet is the Spirit. No. The Father, Son, and Spirit. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Wife? No, but your wife should be. Don't go and marry somebody that is not identity. If you go and marry an unbeliever, that was not bone of your bone, oh. That one is fish bone. That's fish bone. Whether male or female. Okay, so bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We saw it. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. Judges chapter 9 verse 1, that's to be Genesis 29 and 14. It means we are kings. We are the same. Now, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, is that also image? Remember, Seth is in the likeness and image of Adam. So images, we are next of kin. We are from the same place. Come on. We are a kind, we are the God kind, but we are not God. So, when we say flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones, it means we belong to the same family. Are you here? Okay, good. So, it's when he saw that, he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. One flesh is not bone of my bone, flesh. There are two different things, though. Is that clear? Was that clear to you? Alright, now watch this. So, the first thing I need to clear about who I am, is that I am God's image as a human being. As a human being. And, you know, the day you know who you are, is so precious. It's so precious. And sometimes, even the parents may not know. One time I sat my dad and mom down, we're having tussles over the work of the ministry. My father felt I was too committed to the work of the ministry. So he took me around my uncle's different counseling sessions. I canceled all the counseling. So he began to pray. In fact, he told me one time that he went to the sea to pray for me. But the sea didn't hear. So one day I asked himself and my mom to sit down. I was going to talk to them. I said, I have something to tell them. Very special. I want to tell them something very important. So they were a bit scared. I don't know why, but after a while I said, I thank you. I've listened to your counsel. I know it's because you love me. Father was already feeling triumphant. Yeah, you know. Well, we love you. You know when parents say we love you at those odious moments. Have you seen your parents say, I love you? So when you raise your kids, try and say, I love you more often. Okay? So you know, in my parents is when you're fighting, and he says, you know I love you. He's like an utterance. You know I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you. And I feel, what are you talking about? So I said to him, I said, you know, I appreciate you. He said, yes. My mom, she was looking at me. She wasn't sure. What's his character about to say? I said, you know, I said, let me share something with you. He said, yes, go on. My dad said, yes. So you know the night you and my mom had sex, and then it became a child. You look at me. Do you know why it happened? So that you can give birth to a preacher of the gospel. My dad looked down and said, oh my gosh. You know, he thought, this boy is crazy. Because I'd gone past, you know, there was a time my dad was telling me, I'm going to find out who is influencing my son. Somebody's destroying his life. So he was going around. He said he was going to follow me one day to the fellowship. He was going to chase me to the place. So I said, you are making a big error. He said, what is the error? I'm not afraid of whoever it is. I will take them. I will take the police who arrest them for blackmailing and for brainwashing my son. I said, you're making a big problem, a big error. His son said, I'm the one influencing people. The criminal is right in your house. He said, oh my God. Oh, I love that man. We had our manners. You know, but you know why I was talking like that? It wasn't like the ministry was giving me money. No. I had, you know, I just made a commitment to Jesus. Back in 93. And I said, I'm never going to take any honorariums in preaching. That must have been 93. And I made up my mind. I'm not in this for money. So I was working, preaching, going from place to place, you know, and I started with the secondary schools. I look for, can I preach? They'll say, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. When I'm preaching, they already send me a letter. 2 more minutes, 2 more minutes. I'm preaching. I was looking for where to preach. Go for evangelism. So I was doing all that. I was making the commitment every day. Sometimes I'll have to walk hours. When I say hours, I mean 8 hours. Just walk and preaching and preaching. Sometimes I'm praying. He's a pastor there now. And I walk around that town. I say, God, you'll take over this place. And when I get to the fellowship, just me and 2.5 brethren. You know that brother that when he shows up, he says, oh, thank you, Jesus. So, you know, and all that. And in the middle of it, someone was so blessed. And then he gave me a gift of a house. When I made a commitment not to collect something. And what I was taught was to pray over it and give it back. So I'm praying over it and I'm saying, Lord, is this all? I'm giving it back, you know. This is 29 years ago. And I'm saying, God, why didn't you even test me with something like sweets or biscuits? You can test me with a house? I'm just a young boy. And I gave it away. 4 years after, I'm preaching somewhere, Miracles Extraordinary, House of Living Stones. a woman whose child began to walk. But the title document of the land, that now had already had grown 4 years now. So as she was going to say, in Jesus' name. So before the temptation came, she said, take it, just give it, collect it, collect it now. You know, and we made that commitment. Why was that conviction so strong? Because now I knew who I was. You can't confuse me anymore. I know who I am. You see, if you have to be calling your pastor, my father is saying I should not come to church. This one is happening. What do I do now? You lack identity. I had no one to call. Did you get it? There was only one wonderful sister, Sister Beatrice Amirman. She's now KBG, that's her name. And she's very, very close to me. So she'll write me letters at the P.O. box. You know, I go pick up a post office box. She just encouraged me, you know. And I was like that. We began a fellowship. I began the, we called it the Royal Family Christian Mission in 1993. And we, 92. And we began to hold meetings. And we decided to have revival meetings. We were about 8 of us or 7. And all the 7 backed out. We were too fast. So the first day of the fast, I got to the house. That's why I saw Eba. You know Eba. Eba is cassava flakes, you know. Eba. I saw one eating bread and beans. The first day of the fast. The guy with the Eba gave me one reason. He said the one with the bread and beans just said he was not led to continue. To continue what he never started. We made the fast for 7 days. I said, all right, I'm going 40 days. I'm not confused. I knew God wanted to do something. So we began. And we began to ministry. Began to walk through it. Began to preach. You know, hold meetings. We began what we call the eco-spec. We brought people together. So many things just happened. We organized crusades. I won't forget this one. We organized this crusade for this man. I didn't know he was coming to start a church. So I organized workers for him, brought him all the workers, and behind me he was planning church. So I didn't know. Didn't know that he was also collecting the offering by the side. This was 29 years ago. So when some boys are doing it today, I said, you're 29 years late. I've seen this before. This is a type of shadow. I know this. You want to start church, start church. Which one is dinner? Lunch hour teaching fellowship. Start the church you want to start. This one is 419. If you want to start church. Which one is lunch hour teaching fellowship? Then you now say, word and music, go straight to the point. This is marketing skills. Call it church and start. Don't say we just want to start with flow meetings. After flow meetings, you want to steal members. That's why you are doing that. Amen? That hit somewhere. I don't know where it hit, but it's good. And that guy, he began to collect offerings. We finished the crusade on a Saturday. I didn't know. You know, I was so naive. I was just going about souls. By the next Sunday, he began a church, full church. Even Jesus didn't start that way. Full church. All the workers for the crusade joined the church. So the Christian Association felt I knew about it. They said, oh, these young evangelists, they are thieves. So I began to face that very early. So I did not know. In my language, you say, I don't know the hand, I don't know the leg. I don't know anything. But that was what it was. Of course, that church didn't last. When you build on stuff like that, they're looking for trouble. If you steal members, somebody else will steal them away. Well, he's just a smarter thief. Don't feel bad. You know, Jesus told us to go and raise disciples. Some guys are recruiting disciples. They can't see. We're looking for Christocentric brethren. Please show up. That's it. So we knew that. So the passion was because I knew who I was. Did I face struggles? I still do. But it was too clear. Who are you? You are the image of God. That's who you are. Whose are you? You belong to God. You have an identity marker on you. What are you meant to do? Replenish the earth. Multiply yourself. I refuse to be barren. I multiply. The first blessedness is to fill the earth. So never say things like, it's not about numbers. Who told you? It's not about numbers. It's about what? Bombers. It's about numbers. Come on. I said, come on. God wants the whole earth. You say it's not about numbers. Who slapped you? It's about numbers. My mandate in life is to multiply. I'll give everything to multiply. I'll give my sweat, my money, my time, my effort. I must multiply. You must be committed to growth. I'm saying numerical growth. That's your mandate in the earth. You must be committed to it because that is who you are. Hallelujah. I was sharing this story in church. We're trying to use a hall. And everybody didn't give us a hall. They said the hall belongs to on what Christian said, and it went on. And they were going to start Word of Faith Academy. It was in 1997. So we couldn't get the hall. The brother who was supposed to lead the academy eventually defected. Because I'm better than defect a lot. Yeah. When people blame politicians for defecting, I look at some Christians. I didn't know better than you. You have changed churches like underwear. In the last 2 years, you've been to 4 churches. Come off it, man. Let me leave that one. So the brother, I stood in front of that hall. I said, I don't know when it's going to happen. But in this place, we will preach the word of God here. He must have looked at me like I was saying, we couldn't afford it. We didn't have the people to be there. Today, there's a Saints Community Church there. The same place. I didn't tell the pastor until recently that hall, I said this. So I spoke to the brother 2 weeks ago. He said, you know that place? I said, yeah. I said, you know Saints Community Church? I said, oh. I said, God is great. I said, yeah, but you left. God is great, but you ran away, right? God is faithful, but you are not faithful. Praise God. The same town. He's a pastor. They planted the second church. Same town that some guys ran away. You're telling me they had venue problems. That's a good problem to have. Same place. After how many years? 31 years. Amen. Praise God. When you know who you are, nothing. You don't, thank God for those who will encourage you. I love my friends, people that encourage me. But get to a point. Whether the encouragement comes or not, you know who you are. You know who you are. Come hell or high waters, I stay where I am. I do what I'm doing. I know who I am. Who am I? I'm the image of God. Whose am I? I am His. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of who I belong to. What's my mandate? To multiply in the earth. That's my mandate. And I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. How am I going to do it? I'm going to serve. How about that one? I'm going to serve. The way God will come into our nation, our cities, is not by banners or billboards. It's by service. Come on. That's the way it's going to enter Zambia. Come on, that's the way it's going to enter South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana. We have to serve. Because he put us in his temple to dress and keep it. What are we dressing and keeping? A tree or rivers? Come on. Rivers. So what God put in the garden, he put us in charge of how the rivers get to the nations. Are you here? That's our mandate. That's who we are. That's who we are. And that is who you are before marriage. Career. That's who you are. Marriage gives expression to it. Career gives expression to it. But career and marriage don't define you. You define your marriage. Come on. That's who I am. That's who I am. I am the image of God. I belong to Him. Praise God. I have a mandate in the earth to multiply. And I will multiply. Because he blessed me. Glory to God. So watch this now. I am in his temple. I am his servant. I'm his servant. I'm so glad I am his servant. But I can't do this alone. So he gives me an allos paracletus. Father, Son, and Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, Son, and Spirit. This is no gender, because we now saw Eve, the woman of the man. And when Adam saw Eve, he said, this is the same like me. That means she's image of God. She belongs to God. She multiplies, replenishes the earth. Priest, king. Are you here? Is that after marriage or before marriage? Oh, you're getting that. So that's before marriage. My marriage only gives expressions. I define my marriage. You here? That's who I am. You here? That's who I am. I have no identity crisis. There are believers that have identity crisis. They do. Did you go abroad? Outside your country. And then everybody is doing something, you start to do it. That's identity crisis. For example, I don't try to eat to please people. It's a dangerous thing for me. Because, we're looking too serious, calm down. Just trying to say that I went somewhere and I said, come and taste this thing. It's Mexican beef. They said, this potato was taken from Himalaya Mountain. Oh boy, do you have rice? Rice is universal. Rice unites the body of Christ. Give me rice and chicken. I can't eat the meal. I said, how is it? It's fine. No, give me what I want. But I just said that's a joke. Some people try to please people. So maybe they relocate to a country. They change everything about them. I'm not saying it's wrong to adopt things for the sake of maybe enlightenment. But sometimes an identity crisis. You just have an identity crisis. Maybe in your culture, when you see elderly people, you courtesy. Then you get to America where they say, hi, Pop. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. I'll do what I'll do anywhere. Because I don't suffer an identity crisis. That's schizophrenia. Do you get it? I know who I am. I know whose I am. And I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm called to do. Praise God. So, When you clear that, you're about to hear something now. Get back to Genesis 1. In the afternoon, I explained to us something you must never ever forget. You were created deficient. Is that clear? God made you incomplete. Everything in the garden showed it. Right in the garden, you needed the tree of life. Right in the garden, you needed the helpmeet. Because you're from the dust. So, we are by nature deficient. Listen carefully. By nature, we are deficient. And we are only sufficient by association. I give you this illustration. Is it possible for God to create just a kind of man who can birth human beings by himself? Let some feminists accuse me of using just one pronoun. You know, it's very possible for God to make sure that the egg and the sperm are in one person. He just says, he thinks about the child, he just says, I think I want the child. You can also make it possible for you to want the child, then you just open the door and see. No, it's very possible. Why didn't he do that? He split humanity into two. That's what he did. He split humanity into two and made one the half of his house. And he made us to depend on one another to fulfill his tasks. So you are by default insufficient. So, write this down. Isolation is ungodly. Independence is ungodly. It's not of God. Male and female created he them. Isolation is ungodly. Independence is ungodly. Now, let me now put some relevance here. Application. Bring out your phones. Mine is not here. Can I steal yours? Bring out your phones. Just bring out your phones. Bring it out. I want to share something to you. Bring it out. Thank you. Bring out your phones if you have. Just bring it out. I know it's iPhone 3000. Just bring it out. Now, what you have in your hands, right? If you ask Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you say, what would you call this? And they observe us for a month, they will say, this is an idol. Because it has the power of control. It has the power of replacement. It has the power of drawing affection from you. You see? Do not take any photos or videos of the session, especially when pastor is teaching. Why do we have to say this? Because this is man made God. 30 years ago, we wouldn't have written this. Where you go get them? Those who use mobile phones were the millionaires. Right? But now it's in your hands. Have you had this experience? Four of you will be in a room And you will be in different parts of the world without traveling. And you will speak to one another. That's the power of an idol. You almost can't do without it. And if I say, hey, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Then you say, don't worry, come and take it at the end of the day. A whole day without my phone? Let me go back home. It's not, I miss prayer meeting. Application. Watch this. It has the power of affection. Then you know the most dangerous thing. Technology now promotes individualism. Is that it? Individualism. So you say, you don't need to go out. You don't need to. You can have everything on your phone. You don't need to. You don't need to go anywhere. We have remote jobs. You won't even know the people in your workplace. You just be working on, and if you earning money. No, your boss does not know you. You don't know your boss. You might meet at the bus station. You just say, hello, how's your, then we have to, do you work? I work. Oh, you work. Are you? Oh, are you? And you've been working together for 3 months. That's dangerous. So, we are being driven into isolation. Then we are promoting independent thinking. That is not the plan of God. God made us relational beings. He created us in a community to need one another. People talk about online church. And I have to say it over and over again. Some guys don't like when I get to this point. That's why I say it again. The online church is a grammatical blunder. It's like saying dark light. You're contradicting yourself. So, people will say, you've gone to church. You take your phone. What has promoted online church? That thing in your hand. And where did it become more prominent? COVID. COVID achieved isolation. And we now made isolation a doctrine. But we were made to relate. So I ask people, can you marry online? They say, yes. That's true. Can you raise a family online? Can you procreate online? No. Except your children will be cartoon characters. Or you give birth to apps. Do you get it? So the very vitality of life cannot be achieved with it. There has to be contact. And that goes into everything. You know, I tell couples, we become so funny now as couples. We now talk to ourselves using WhatsApp chat. Husband and wife. Sometimes in the same room. You'll say, I don't like what you did. Then I'll say, whatever. In there. It's madness. It's really madness. No. Drop that idol. And you know, many, have you discovered in life, many rifts always disappear when you see. Just see. is that when you see a jinx is broken, somehow, you know, I've had cases where maybe there's someone that, you know, had this, I'll have something in my mind. Maybe I feel I want to tell the person. I feel the person has done. So the moment I pick up the phone and just hear the person's voice, that reservation just disappears. Has it happened to you before? It just goes. When we now see, it's like without the person explaining anything, I'll just understand. That's how God made it. Please, married people, stop using phone alone to say I love you. Using emoticon. Love you. Love you. You'll be sending kisses in WhatsApp when you ask each other. Technology is running you mad without knowing. We are created in a community. You can't be fulfilled alone. Male and female created the them. This is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. In classical Hebrew, it means we share weakness and strength. That's what it means. So we are born into a community. I just said, God split man into two. He put the egg and the sperm. Then, he has the two people come together, have a healthy relationship, then they produce family. So, that in itself is an illustration of who we are. It also means I will not be fruitful in the earth. We will not fill the earth as individuals. We need healthy relationships, supernatural relationships, contact, fellowship, association, mingling together to fulfill these tasks on earth. I need you. You need me. That's how we're going to carry out this task. God is going to become a man. He didn't show up. Hello guys. This is Jesus. Heard about me? No. He uses a woman. You know, he could have showed up. Super Ted. Superman. He goes through relationship. There is Joseph. There is Mary. And oh, by the way, Joseph is quite a very unique guy. In these days, if Joseph had found out that Mary was pregnant, he would have put on WhatsApp. See me, see trouble. That's how somebody says she's pregnant. She says, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit! Some guys are really mad. You know, and he would have called his mom. Mommy! I'm really feeling pain right now. Some guys are mommy's boy. Mommy, I'm really feeling pain. Talk to me, my son. My son! It's Mary. What did she do? Mary! Mary's pregnant. Mommy, you won't believe... Ah! But you guys have never had sex. Mommy, you trust me, I never did. What happened? She has not disclosed the boyfriend. She has said the boyfriend is aka Holy Spirit. She has not told me who he was. The woman has said, ha ha! She like called her best friend. I want to share a prayer button with you. The marriage we're planning for Mary is pregnant. So by the time the angel shows up, he will have nothing to say again. He says, Joseph, carry go. Because by the time you have because you know some of us talk too much. That's gotta go. How many people would the angel go and convince? He's the only Sorry, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, Ranger. So he needed a relationship. Mary and Joseph. And she carried him for 9 months. He didn't jump out the first month. I'm God. Healthy. They developed a bond. He grew up normally. These are building fire. And the nursery school. He grew up normally. Had relations. You know, he must have pulled Jesus. The moment I said, Jesus! Why are you pulling like this? Come on. He must have been crying. Eh? But you took breast milk just 2 hours ago. Jesus, you too like food. He's just human. God identified with us fully. Because there's power in that weakness. Don't celebrate your weakness. Acknowledge it. And celebrate the grace of God. The help of God. The power of God. Are you here? So did God need Mary? Come on now. If God needed a human being, who are you not to need people? A friend of mine, TJ, told me this in 1992. He said, you're a piece of the universe made alive. You're a piece of a whole. So I know we sing songs like, what's that song again? There's a song. You say, if it's just me, if it was just me, Lord, because of me, you gave up your life. I don't know, one like that. If it's just only me, Christ will have come. Don't fool yourself. He didn't come for one person. He came for the whole world. Is that clear? So there's nothing, now there's no individual salvation. You are only an individual in his salvation. He is not your personal Lord and Savior. There's nothing personal about it. Do you understand? He's the Savior of the world. And you are part of those that he saved. It is a going to all the world and one individual is enough. Just, if I can just get one person, I'm sufficient. Say, all creation! That's what he said. Because that is humanity. We need one another. He began the ministry. He's God. He now needed John. John. Not just that. He needed, pay attention. He needed Elizabeth to say, the mother of my Lord has come. Come on. He needed that. Not just that. The next chapter, we find him in the temple. He needed the teachers of the law to teach him. You think he came with scriptures? In 6 months, he said, Malachi 4:1. Exodus 2:2. Isaiah 1:1. No! He sat down and they taught him. Jesus needed teachers. Are you here? In chapter 3, he needed his cousin to ordain him. John the Baptist ordained Jesus. In Luke 3. In Luke 4, he began to preach. Luke 5. Luke 5 is significant again. A man is sick of the palsy. His friends, oh praise God, they dropped him from the roof. Jesus saw not his faith, their faith. In Luke 6, he needed to call. He needed when to pray. And he prayed. Mark 3 records it too. He prayed, then he chose his apostles. He needed associates. Jesus was always in need. Did he have the Spirit? But that's not, say, all I just need is the Holy Spirit. Keep quiet. How did you get filled with the Holy Spirit? Didn't somebody lay hands on you? I just need the Holy Spirit. Me and the Holy Spirit. Just me and the Holy Spirit. Just me and the, you're just. He called 12 to walk with him. In Matthew 10, he said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send for laborers into his harvest. Jesus was there. He is God as a man, but it was not enough to reach the place. He went to his hometown in Mark 6. And all they said, who is preaching? They said, Jesus. Which one? Mary's son. That one that we don't even know who his father is. That's what he's preaching. Don't even know his brothers. They're offended. Like one guy, he went to a program. And he saw Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and Charles Capps. Now Kenneth Hagin is like the father of the mentor. They're Charles Capps and Kenneth Copeland. The guy just said, oh, Kenneth Hagin and two repeaters. People like that create strife. I was also say, Pastor Ken, why are you sounding like this person? Be yourself. That's the devil. Man is a product of influence. Everything you are doing today, you were influenced. Even your name, they gave you. You that you were born. You were born by somebody. He needed the 12. When he needed to have another one, he called another 70. When he rose from the dead, he had conquered the devil, as we say. He's now King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he said, oh guys, we made it. That's what Chelsea said last year when they didn't get to the championship. This is not going to happen this year. Chelsea always comes up. God, thank you. We made it! Jesus said, we made it! We made it! Guys! Watch me reach the nations. Take the sidelines. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. I will march into the nations. He needed them. And the guys he needed were all sorts of people. A denier, an emotionally bankrupt one, a doubter. Everybody was just doing all sorts. But he called them, rebuked them, taught them for 40 days. He needed them to fulfill his mandate. He told them, even you can't do it alone. You still have to make disciples. You need people! So I'll get into that tomorrow evening. If you need people, you must learn how to receive from people. If you don't know how to receive, you rob yourself of God's plan. You know, some know how to lay hands on the sick. They don't know how to be healed. Praise God. And sometimes, we Christocentric people, when we want to have a meeting, we say things like, we'll be stirred, we'll be impacted. We can't say we'll be healed. I know people here tonight that will be healed in this meeting. You should know how to receive healing. It's flowing through me, it's flowing through me. So it's not going to flow to you. It should flow to you. Know how to receive. You know, you can be so proud. I was like that. You know, I told you I had a commitment not to take some stuff and not to take, just to preach the gospel. Not just me, myself and my friends. And we just made that commitment. Sometimes we'll travel to preach and we'll lap one another. You know, to lap? We carry one another on the lap in the bus because we didn't have the money. And we'll go from place to preach. But it now got to a point. I'll share this tomorrow. I didn't know how to receive from people again. I just wanted to be given. So, I didn't know how to even take. That's pride. That's pride. For you to think you are the only one that should give. So I say it's more blessed to give than to receive. He didn't say it's a cost to receive. Even the same Paul, when Yahweh happened, in Philippians 4, he said, I've received gifts from you. When to reward what you will receive. Sometimes, I'll talk about this later, God gives us circumstances to humble us. Because I tell people, I don't rate sin, so you don't have to. But if you ask me, what's that number one thing that is a heavy sin? It's pride. Pride is heavy. Pride is to see yourself more than who you are. Pride. Some guys are pretty proud. They're just so proud. You know, we're having one meeting one day, 1998. We called it Word on the Mission. So we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. So this guy just said, he literally just walked out of the meeting. And he was sitting in front. You know those kind of guys, they can be very arrogant. He just got up. I don't know how some people feel. If I'm sitting in front, I find it difficult to just getting up and leaving. He just got up and began to walk out. He took his Bible and was just walking out. So my friend Pastor Dokun just went after him. He said, why are you going? He said, so I went with him too. He said, concerning spirituals? That's how I said, concerning spirituals. I said, we know all this. So I said, well, the Holy Ghost must have been ignorant because he has not left. You are leaving because you think you know. The Holy Ghost is still there. You know, while he was looking at me, my friend gave him a word of knowledge. He had a skin disease. Had been with him from childhood in this very sensitive part. He said, that's why you, and he was, my friend can be very funny. He said, no wonder you have all these things in your body. He said, yeah, it's the Holy Ghost that told me. Then he stopped. Then we ministered to him and he got healed. Of course, he went back to the meeting. You see, that's just pride. What was he teaching? I know it. I've been teaching since the day of Pentecost. It's no big deal. Pride. We are made to need one another. Marriage is an illustration of it. If we're going to multiply, if we're going to increase. Let me say this. And this also goes to all of us world churches. World churches. Christocentric. Where you see other people doing something, you say, God, move in Zambia. You saw somebody fill the stadium, people got born again. That's not God. Who was that? Muhammad? We think it has to be us. Christianity didn't spread through Jesus. No. It spread through doesn't have to be you. So when I say the move of the Spirit, we're talking about our own churches. It must be our church. Who are you? And then some of us, this is not a ticket to agree with those who teach some things that are not correct. But many of us got born again in those places. And we are still claiming the salvation. We will call it eternal. Isn't that some arrogance? Some pride? Must he use you for everything? Can you even do everything? So say, you know, the way I am. There's a guy like that. I don't want to mention his name. Brother Higgins said, he saw him on TV. The guy's church had grown large. He was on television. His book sales was top notch, top bestseller in America. Then right on TV, he said, see what we have become. What would God do without us? Brother Higgins said, when I heard that, I knew he was coming down. A few years after, his ministry was gone and God has been fine since then. God's been good. Never think it has to be you. You are insufficient to carry out all that God has to do in the earth. Do you know, if God's going to use you alone for the nations, do you know how many hours you have to pray power? You don't get my figure of speech, right? Just since community church, you're already tired. You see? Guys, we cover the earth. You need to cover yourself, you cover the earth. Then you want to do everything that everybody is doing? No, quit it. You are a piece of a whole. Is that clear? You must know how to thank God for using others and how to receive from others. Is that clear? Are we getting close to Romans 1? Not yet. Just relax. So I know I am born into a community of people. So listen carefully. After salvation, the next important thing is almost the same thing. It's being in supernatural relationships. And it is first of all modeled by the church. You are saved, you join others. Because your salvation is not personal. God has put in other people what you need. You can't make the journey alone. You will have to be in relationship with people that God has brought into the world for your sake to make you who you are. I must know if I am the image of God. Is image of God personal? Huh? Is for them. Is belonging to God personal? Is corporate. Is the mandate personal? Is your identity personal? No. Can you do it alone? No. We must know how to receive. It's all in me! Good song, keep singing it, but it's contextual. It's not all in you. There are things in others for you. And God also will have special ministries He gives to people. And I was thinking about this afternoon. Because I was, this evening, sorry. I was, I have a class later tonight, so I was trying to prep some guys that are going to be in the class. And because they're in different continents, so I have to meet very, very early in the morning. So I was talking to someone very early, and I said, you know, when I was a younger Christian, still a young Christian, I was in a seminar. It's a seminar. It was titled The Anointing. Now, it's arguably one of the most remarkable teaching seminars I've attended in my life. It was in 1993. And by Reverend Victor Adeyemi. And so I'm always grateful for that seminar. Because he said something that he struck. Then I asked my friend, Femi Olubadjo, I said, that's a bit interesting. He said, information doesn't give you the grace of explanation. And I said, wow. I thought all, so my friend, so he said that what is unique about the teaching grace is you will have peculiar insight even into what everybody is reading. And also a peculiar mode of explanation. I struggled with that a bit because I felt, if I understand, I felt it was about intelligence. If I'm intelligent enough, I can read it. And then my friend said something for me, and it was outstanding. He said, there's something about the grace of God working in people. You will read the same book, right? But the same thing you all read, the way the person will explain it will be very unique. The explanation is a gift from God. Now, I didn't like that. The same year after 1994, I did a series, Ministry Gift, in Lagos, and I thought it. When I got to that point, I said it, but I couldn't explain it. I didn't want to say it. I just felt, if you study the Word of God, that's sufficient. So years later, I now saw that there was nothing Jesus read that the Pharisees did not read. There was nothing he taught that they could not teach. But there was how he taught it that they could not. It stood out. The people were astonished at his mode of teaching. So, sometimes we get into rivalry. Let me find out what Pastor Ken is reading. If I get it, I'll be able to do what he's doing. You will fail. You will hear in heaven. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. When it comes to the grace of God that works with people, it comes with ease. So you need to realize that. So I said, wow, Reverend Victor was right. Because I eventually saw what he was saying. What am I trying to say? There are also special ministries in the body of Christ. And we need to realize. And God can call people to do some special things. And I'm going to say something here that maybe some of my friends may not like it. You know, I believe, for example, now I'm not one to have people on TV be praying for them. You know, I believe Christians should be taught and well-groomed. In fact, the person I'm going to talk about told me personally that he believes that the core ministry of the preacher is to make disciples. They're praying for people over television. You know, it brings fans and followers, but it doesn't groom Christians. He told me personally, and I saw him write it. I believe in 2020, when Pastor Jerry Azen began what God, I don't even know that phrase very well, what God cannot do exists or something like that. I believe that God inspired. And I believe God put his spirit special in him. Because that period, people were hopeless because of the disease. And he was bold to say, no, what God cannot do does not exist. I believe God called him to do it. It doesn't have to be me and you. We think if it's not us, it can't be God. That's rubbish. We think maybe in our minds, the way he's explaining scripture. If God is going to wait for you to get all the scriptures right, you wouldn't even have to, one of your prayers will not be answered, not one. There's a huge difference between getting the miraculous and the power of God to work and getting your doctrine right. They are not together. Your doctrine can be upside down and God will still work miracles through you. But your worship of God will definitely be tainted. But you need to have both, okay? I believe that. And we must be able to recognize what God is doing even if we're not the ones. Is that okay? We must be able to recognize. God is, and it takes nothing away from the truth that we preach to say, I thank God for Reverend so-so and so. I thank God for this church. I look at the revival in Nigeria, my country. If we trace it, it goes to the white garment churches. But we don't want to acknowledge it. But that is how God sparked up revival. Because it was close to the culture of the people. And God always starts with the culture, then he transforms the people later. But he does, at least, to start. I must know how to acknowledge what God is doing. And never become uneasy when God is using someone else. No, you can't be. You can't afford bitterness. Lord, when last did you raise your hands in prayer and say, Lord, I thank you for the life of Reverend so-and-so. We don't agree. We don't preach the same thing. But I can see thousands are saved in his crusade. Lord, more and more and more. When last did you accept God is using someone else? Does it have to be you? Who are you? Savior of the world? Who are you? You therefore should know, no matter what ministries we are, no matter who we are, God has a body in the world. Is that clear? Let's now bring it home. In this assembly, there are many things in this hall that belong to you, but it's not with you now. It's with someone around the hall. If you open your eyes, you will get it. You have to lay aside your pride. Lay aside your self-conceit and arrogance. And know that you are human. If you're human, you need help. If you're human, you need relationships. If you're human, you are not complete. So as we go towards a very important crescendo in this conference, we're going to see a very unique manifestation of the Spirit of God in this conference. It's going to start with us knowing how to receive. It's going to start that way. How to receive from others. You know, you should know how to receive from your wife. You should know how to receive from your husband. From your friends. From those you pastor. And of course, from those who pastor. I can tell you this. And I stand in the horizon of time to say that the churches in this hall were just at the fringes of something God is doing. If we will just yield to Him in humility, in submission, and yield to Him and lay aside pride, we're going to see a fresh move of God's Spirit in our cities, in our nation. From today, start praying for ministries that are not your ministry. Pray for churches that don't teach what you teach. Not for them to teach error, but for more light to come to their hearts. And be grateful for what God is doing with them. We will reach the whole world as the body of Christ. We are the fringes. And in the churches, there's a greater move of the Spirit that we're going to see in our meetings when we learn to receive from one another. You lay aside your age, your wealth, lay aside your experience and say, I am here to be blessed and to bless. And we will see stronger ministers raised up through our churches. The one church will become two. Two will become three. Three will become four. Four, five, six, seven places. Spread into the right, to the east, to the west. Stronger believers are raised when we learn to receive honor and give honor amongst ourselves. And from tomorrow, we will see waves of the Spirit in these meetings. We'll see it. We'll see it. There'll be strong impartations. I want you to do something tomorrow. From the morning till the evening. Come empty. Come empty. Come saying, I got nothing. I want to get everything. And you will. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. You won't miss it. No, you won't. You won't miss the moment. You won't miss the moments. You won't miss the seasons. You position yourselves in this hour to take, to get, and to be full. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on.